Happy New Year. You know what this is? Shofar. God bless. Well, bless you. No, it's a shofar. You didn't sneeze. No, shofar. Yes, it is a shofar, and it was blown to commemorate the Jewish religious New Year. They call it Rosh Hashanah, and since the New Year is upon us, and this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the New Year and what it means for us, and specifically we're talking about the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee and the Christian. Jubilee and the Christian. So let's all open our Bibles to the book of Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, then Leviticus, chapter 25. We'll be reading verses 8 through 12, and then we'll discuss it, or actually I'll talk about it and you'll listen. We'll see how that goes. Leviticus 25, beginning with verse 8. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you shall return to his possession. Each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor shall you gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. So this morning, we're talking about Jubilee and the Christian. Now, about a couple of weeks ago, before Christmas time, we finished up the book of Philippians. And so next Sunday, we will pick up where we left off in the book of Colossians. But since today is December 31st, by the way, if you had anything to do in 2017, it is still to be done. You don't have much time left. And so before we get into Colossians, I thought it'd be nice to kind of look at this passage of Scripture and to talk about how it relates to us. In the book of Leviticus, the Lord, through Moses, was instructing the people about God's law and about how to keep it. In chapter 25, God commands Israel concerning what is called the Sabbath year. Every 7 years, they were to take the year off. Being an agrarian society, primarily farmers, growing crops, every 7th year, they were to cease from plowing and planting and harvesting. They were to allow the land to have its rest. God promised that if they kept this law, then what grew in the 6th year would be so abundant that it would last for a total of 3 more years, all the way through the 9th year. We read in Leviticus 25, verse 22, you shall sow in the 8th year. So you sowed in the 6th year, and it was a bumper crop, and you brought it all into your storehouses. 7th year you rested. Then you shall sow in the 8th year and eat old produce, that which was from the 6th year, all the way until the 9th year. Until its produce, the 8th year produce, comes in, you shall eat the old harvest. Man, what a promise. What an amazing promise. Also in chapter 25, God commands Israel concerning an additional Sabbath year. In addition to every 7th year, on the 50th year, they were to celebrate the year of Jubilee. So if Israel had obeyed God's commandments, then Israel, every 49 and 50 years, would have 2 years off. You know, it's rare that anybody has a 2-week vacation. Imagine 2 years off, the regular Sabbath year, followed by the year of Jubilee. Look at verse 8 again. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 70, I know there's a lot of math involved, I'm sorry about that. 70, or 7 times 7 years, a time of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. 7 times 7, 49. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. So what begins the year of Jubilee is the trumpet sounding on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. What's the Hebrew word for Day of Atonement? Who knows? Yom Kippur, that's right. So on the Day of Atonement begins every 50 years, the Day of Atonement begins the year of Jubilee. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. So there'd be somebody there on the Temple Mount blowing the shofar, and then other priests scattered throughout all the region, all the land blowing the shofar, signaling to the people there on Yom Kippur that this was the 50th year now, and it was the year of Jubilee. The Jewish website Torah.org defines Yom Kippur, that every year they would celebrate Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, as such. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year, the Jewish year. On this day, and this is them, this is not what I believe, but this is what they feel. On this day, God seals our fate for the coming year. I mean, Yom Kippur is a day of make it or break it for the Jew. God seals our fate for the coming year. Therefore, the entire day is spent fasting and praying to God for forgiveness and a good year. So Yom Kippur happens every year, the Day of Atonement, but on the 50th year, Yom Kippur begins the year of Jubilee. By the way, the word Kippur is linked to another Jewish word, Kaporet, which was actually the name for the mercy seat that covered the ark, upon which the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for the people. So Yom Kippur itself is all about God making atonement with man by applying the blood of the Lamb to the mercy seat. And all of that is all about our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is, number one, the Lamb of God who shed his blood to pay for our sins. And we apply the blood of the Lamb to ourselves through faith, not by works, but through faith in Jesus, who himself is the embodiment of the Ark of the Covenant and all that it is, including that mercy seat. He is the place of mercy. He is a place of grace. So Jesus himself is our Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And by faith with him, we are at one-ment with God. And every 50th year on this Yom Kippur began the year of Jubilee. Now, the word Jubilee itself is from the Hebrew word Yovel, or as it's pronounced, Yovel, which literally means a ram's horn, ram's horn trumpet. Now, on the beginning day of the year of Jubilee, the trumpet again was to be heard throughout all the land. Now, some might wonder, well, is there a year of Jubilee now? Do they still celebrate it? No, the Jews, according to the Word of God, do not celebrate the year of Jubilee, nor do they celebrate the every 7 years of rest. In fact, there is no place in Scripture, Old Testament or otherwise, where it is specifically recorded that they celebrated either the 7-year Sabbath rest or the year of Jubilee. In fact, if you do the math, for 490 years, the Jews refused to let the land have its Sabbath rests. And so the land was due 70 years of rest. God said that it would rest. And either, you know, we can voluntarily let it happen, or we can be forced to let it happen. And so what happened with Israel? It was due at 70 years of rest. How long were they held captive in Babylon? 70 years. The land got its rest. See, God's word is always going to come to pass. We can either experience it the easy way or the hard way. And so for Israel, they were told every 7 years, let there be a land of rest, a year of rest. And every 50th year, you were to celebrate the Jubilee, another year of rest. Well, when is the Jubilee? Is there one coming to us soon according to the numbers and all? There are several websites, in fact, that claim that the most recent year of Jubilee began on Yom Kippur in the year 2017. And it began on sundown, September 29th, last September. And it will continue until sundown, September 19th, 2018, on the next Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. If their calculations are correct, we are currently in the year of Jubilee. I read it on the web, so it must be true, you know, because the website don't lie. So if their calculations are correct, then it could very well be we are currently in the year of Jubilee. It will last until next September. What might happen during this year? We'll see. Verse 10, and you shall consecrate the 50th year, proclaim liberty. Notice the words that are associated with Jubilee. You have the first word, liberty or freedom. Liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Jubilee is about liberty and freedom. Jubilee can be summarized by four R's. Four R's: release, restoration, reunion, and rest. First of all, release from all debts, and if somebody happened to be a slave, they were then set free from their slavery. Restoration. All that was sold or lost in the previous 6 years or so, or 49 years, would be restored to the original owners. Reunion. Everyone who was displaced would then return to their family origin, their hometown. And then finally, rest. No work for a whole year. No work for a whole year. So the four R's of Jubilee are release, restoration, reunion, and rest. Verse 10 goes on to say, it shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, the land that he originally owned, and each of you shall return to his family. So they were to return to their possession. When Israel first came into the promised land, the land was divided into 12 geographic regions, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Each region was then further subdivided until each family received a substantial large tract of land, several acres. They could farm or raise cattle or whatever they wanted to do to provide for themselves. Now, if a person fell on hard times, he could lease his land or sell himself as a slave, but only temporarily. For beginning in the year of Jubilee, all slaves were released and all lands were restored back to the original owners, and all debts were canceled. That 50th year, verse 11, shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord. You cannot harvest what might grow naturally during that year for sale, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. You couldn't process grapes into wine. You could not sell them at the market. You could, as we'll see here, you could eat whatever grows naturally of its own, whatever volunteers. So you and your family are hungry, you just go out into your uncultivated, unplowed, unplanted field, and there would be food for you, more than enough. God promised so. So similar to every seventh year in Jubilee, no plowing, no planting, no harvesting for sale. Whatever happened to grow, you could eat for your family. There was the year-long rest of the Sabbath, which happened to be on the 49th year, and then another year-long Sabbath rest in Jubilee, or a two-year vacation. A two-year vacation. Verse 12, for it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. Notice that the Jubilee and rest are also coupled with the word holy. Holiness involves release and rest. Involves rest. When God's people seek to be holy by obeying the word of God, It's then that we experience rest and peace. However, if a person is seeking after sin, it's a rest and a peace they will never know. Because in Isaiah 48, verse 22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. And so Jubilee was all about obeying God for rest. Isn't that interesting? You obey God, you get rest. If you disobey, you're going to keep working. Isn't that interesting? You're working, that's disobedient to God. If it's the Jubilee or the Sabbath year, then that's disobedient. And again, this is for Israel, for the nation. But still, there are spiritual implications for you and me. If you work at salvation, thinking that your good works will save you, there is no rest, because it's never going to be good enough. But if you cease from dead works and trust in Jesus Christ, it's then that you enter His rest. And that's what the Lord is telling us. Enter, be obedient by resting. Enjoy the rest through obedience, obedience by faith. By the way, whatever lands were sold or leased off in the year of Jubilee would return back to you. God was letting Israel know that the land was never to be anyone's permanent possession anyway. In Leviticus 25, verse 23, the land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For, this is something for us as well, you are strangers and sojourners with me. God wants His people in every generation to know that this world is not our home. We're pilgrims. We're aliens. Whatever we possess, some of that stuff is going to outlive us. You realize that, right? It's going to be left for someone else to have to deal with. You know, I feel so sorry for my kids. Because I got this attic and this garage that's just a complete mess. And I'm going to get to that one day. Now, if my kids want to do themselves a favor, they can help me so that they don't have to deal with it when I die or whatever. So, you know, the stuff that we have, our possessions, they're really not ours because we're just passing through. We're all going to leave it. We're using it for now, but it's we're just passing through. Until heaven, you and I are strangers and sojourners with Jesus. But though we're waiting for heaven, did you know that right now we are currently under the true spiritual jubilee? Even though we're waiting for the heavenly jubilee, right now, currently, we are under the spiritual jubilee. It was announced by none other than our Lord Jesus in about 29 AD. From a synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. Why don't you turn there to Luke chapter 4. You can go ahead and leave Leviticus there now. Luke 24, beginning in verse 16. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. It's interesting how the synagogues were constructed, and how the services were ordered. The rabbi, in this case Jesus, would stand up and read from the Torah or from one of the other holy books, from the prophets maybe. There would be several readings, and Jesus stood up to read. By the way, all the people would stand up throughout the entire service. Once the rabbi was done reading, he would then sit down and then teach the people something from what he had read. The pastor sat while the people stood. It's kind of changed, hasn't it? Can you imagine how much money we would save on chairs if we did this? I know you're probably thinking, well, you would probably buy yourself a really nice chair. Yes. So he came to Nazareth and he stood up and taught and was reading, stood up to read. Verse 17, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, specifically from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. And this is what Jesus read. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he stopped. And the people were like, there's more in that. You haven't finished the sentence. And he didn't. He specifically did not finish the sentence, because the next part says, "and the day of vengeance of our God." At this point, Jesus wasn't announcing vengeance. He was announcing liberty. He was proclaiming jubilee. Vengeance will happen later, probably not very long from today. But at this point, he's proclaiming jubilee. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began to say to them, "Today," picture trumpets going off everywhere as Jesus is making this announcement. There in about 29 AD, from that little synagogue in Nazareth, there was the initial trumpet that would then be followed by all the other trumpeters throughout all the universe. The angelic beings, no doubt, with trumpets in hand, proclaiming this wonderful spiritual jubilee that Jesus was finally inaugurating. "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. More than just saying, "I'm the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 61 and the fulfillment of all the Old Testament. But I believe proclaiming even for us spiritual jubilee that doesn't just last a year, but lasts throughout eternity. First of all, release for you and me, release from all debts, including the debt of sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Our sin deserves death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jubilee releases us from that deathly debt of sin, and also from the bondage of the slavery of sin. In Romans 6, 17, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin," that's how we used to be, "yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." The moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you no longer had to sin anymore. Beforehand, you did. I did. I was a slave of sin. I could not say no to the lusts of the flesh. I had to. My eternal spirit was dead. We were all born dead in our sins and our trespasses. And when sin reared its ugly head, I had no choice but to obey. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm now free. You are free. We can say no to sin and mean it, because we've trusted in Jesus. So we're released from the debt of sin, from the slavery of sin. Then the second R, we now return to our family, to the family of God. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, "Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law," that was you and me, "that we might receive the adoption as sons," or daughters, if that be your gender. We are adopted into his family. "Because you are sons or daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" You know, the Jews never prayed Father. They never prayed to the Father. They prayed to God. They prayed to the Lord. But this thought of becoming an adopted son or daughter of God was completely foreign to them. It was a mystery. a mystery that is revealed to us in the New Testament, that God has come to save us from our sins and to adopt us into his family. We now have that relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Now it has been restored. Now we have returned to our family, to the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And may I remind us, the church, that that means something special. That means commitment to one another. That means love for one another. Jesus said, by this all will know you are my disciples, if what? You love one another. If you love each other. We now return to the family of God. And then the next one, restoration. What was sold and lost has now been restored. What was forfeited through sin has now been restored to us. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Wow. What was lost in the garden? Oh, more than just free food everywhere growing on every tree. More than just walking around naked and not being ashamed. Oh, so much was forfeited in the Garden of Eden. But now, through Jesus, we are heirs of God through Christ. We inherit spiritual blessings that, as Jeff earlier said in the announcements, truly out of this world. Far more glorious than what we can possibly imagine. It's now been restored. We are now restored. And the fourth R is rest. We get to rest from dead works, from trying to be religious enough to make it good with God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. He's writing to the Hebrews, to Jewish believers in Yeshua, in Jesus. And much of the Hebrew holdovers were still part and parcel of the Jewish Christian life, thinking that, okay, I'm a believer in Jesus, but I still have to maintain these good works, don't I? And so whoever the penman, the Holy Spirit through the penman was writing to these Hebrew Christians saying, no, it's no longer about the sacrifices. It's no longer about the observances of the Sabbaths and the feast days and the dietary laws. No, those are dead works. They couldn't save you anyway. In fact, all they can do is show that you fell short. You're a sinner. And so now we enter his rest. We cease from those dead works, thinking that they will somehow make us right with God. There are a lot of Christians, non-Jewish Christians today, who are still involved in a works relationship with God. They think that they can, by doing their good works, they somehow merit more favor with God. Oh, God's going to bless me this week because I was really good. No, God's going to bless you because he's a blessing God and he loves his kids. That's why God's going to bless you. The one thing about being good is that it does keep us in close communion with him, that we enjoy peace in our relationship with him. But we know that if we're in sin, then that peace is gone. It's just not there. We're walking around thinking, well, where did that go? Well, it's because of sin. But even so, God still blesses us. God still loves us. And he's promised to restore all things to us. What a glorious jubilee we live in. Jesus himself is our jubilee. In him, we have release from the debt and bondage of sin. We have returned to the family of God. We've had restoration of fellowship with him and future glory in heaven. And we rest from our dead religious works because now we have a living faith in Jesus Christ. Pretty cool, huh? The jubilee for the Christian. But wait, there's more. There's more. Jesus will one day soon bring about the ultimate jubilee. And we read about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. You want to turn there quickly, please do so. And in case you don't know where it is, 1 Thessalonians is right before 2 Thessalonians. I hope that helps. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, proclaiming ultimate freedom, ultimate liberty. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is what we call the rapture. Caught up there is the Greek word harpazo. The Latin word is rapturo, where we get our English word rapture from. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, there is great debate among Christians as to when the rapture will happen as far as end times prophecy is concerned, or as the fancy folks like to say, their eschatological construct. I don't know why they just want to sound smart, I guess. Will the rapture happen at just before the tribulation? I personally think so. Some think it'll happen in the middle. Some people think it'll happen at the end. There would be the tribulation, the rapture, and then immediate return with Jesus to the earth. But I do know this. The Lord has said that we are to be comforted with these words. We should not debate about these words. We should be comforted. It should excite us to the utmost to think that one day God's going to blow his ultimate jubilee trumpet and we're out of here. Now, he may come for us one at a time. Death might be in our futures, or maybe rapture. I'm hoping for rapture. I would prefer that. But whether by death or rapture, our ultimate heavenly jubilee could happen at any time, right? Any of you have a guarantee about tomorrow? Any of you have a guarantee about tonight? I mean, tonight's New Year's Eve. I caution you, don't be on the roads. I mean, it's bad enough to drive around Memphis when most people are sober. And then you're going to get on these roads tonight? You know, I like to sleep in the new year. If I can get into bed about 9, 10 o'clock whatever. All I'm saying is be careful. Because your death day could be at any time, at any moment. But until then, remember, our spiritual jubilee is right now. We can still enjoy the benefits of what Jesus heralded there in the synagogue of Nazareth, where we have all those wonderful R's: release, restoration, reunion, and rest. So until then, our spiritual jubilee is now. So with this new year upon us, I pray that we would recommit ourselves to living out our jubilee now. All those 4 R's, living it out now. And also being ready for the ultimate jubilee to come. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent. Make it your goal. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And Father, we thank you for the jubilee that we are currently in, whether it's the Jewish observed or recognized one that took place last September and will continue through the next September, but surely for our spiritual jubilee that you, Jesus, trumpeted, that you proclaimed, and now we're free. Lord, we are free. Help us to live free. We were born again to be free. Help us to live it. Lord, we recognize it's possible to go back into bondage, to slip back into sin, and have it become something that entangles us. We pray for freedom today. For any that are in that situation, that you would set them free. Whom the Son shall make free, he shall be free indeed. Lord, that our deeds would be that of freedom and liberty and rest and restoration. Lord, in all those wonderful things that you have made true for us, that we now appropriate by faith. Lord, all we need to do is believe, to trust that these things are so, and then they will be. Lord, thank you that you are the ultimate jubilee. And we're looking forward to your return. Until then, help us to live accordingly. May this next year truly be a year of jubilee for us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.